This sermon series takes lessons from the life of Joseph. There are many parallels between his life and the ministry of Jesus, and therefore between his life and ours as followers of Jesus. It is entitled, Finding Purpose When Life Doesn't Make Sense. This audio session is meant for your preparation only, not for any other use. Remember to add your personal illustrations and stories as you think best. Or have a look at the transcripts for suggested places for illustrations. Please remember to report back once you have preached between 4 to 6 sermons. Pastor, we are grateful and pleased that you are part of this pastor's circle and that you are going to preach for life change.
You can break the cycle. God cares more about who we are becoming than what we do for Him. As He shapes us through a lifetime of lessons, we can choose to break the cycle of brokenness. By way of introduction, let me ask you, have you ever been on one of those long journeys in the car when you feel like it's taking more time to get to your destination than it should? Perhaps you've had children in the car with you who have become impatient and asked, "Are we there yet?" And so it is that often God doesn't work with the shortest distance between two points. It might feel like we're on a detour. And maybe sometimes in our lives, things feel like they're taking longer than they should. Remember, our God cares about relationship and who we are becoming. And because of His great power, He has definite plans and purposes for each of our lives. These plans are more complex than simple equations and standard responses. God's plans lead us down paths that seek our overall good and development over a period of time. As God's children, we should remember an important principle. God cares more about who we are becoming than what we do for Him, and He shapes us through a lifetime of lessons. When we are tempted to be disappointed with God or impatient, let's remember that God knows each of our stories. He knows how each of our stories end, and as we will discover in the life of Joseph, He is more concerned about the development of the dreamer than the fulfillment of the dream. God knows that by us walking down a certain path, He can mold us. He knows that through us enduring challenging times, it can lead to greater effectiveness, joy, and satisfaction. He alone knows how to prepare us to experience His very best. You never know where God will take you, but be assured that if you find yourself on a detour, you're in good company. And you're in for an adventure that could change your life forever. Now let's have a look at the context of the life and ministry of Joseph. Firstly, we see that sin in the world leads to a brokenness in our homes. Perhaps you'll be encouraged to know that not every family is perfect. Ever since the fall of man, every family is broken to some degree. All of us grow up in homes that are at least partially dysfunctional. But Joseph's family was in no way partially dysfunctional. It was wholly dysfunctional. Joseph's family life was a complete mess. There's an important lesson in all of this for us, and it's that you don't really understand your family until you climb up your own family tree a bit. To understand Joseph, you really need to go back a generation up his family tree to see the life of his father, Jacob. Jacob, Joseph's father, is known to be a deceptive person. Jacob's deception of his own father over a birthright and blessing shows that he will do whatever it takes to succeed. This family that's supposed to be a part of Abraham's covenant and part of God's redemptive plan is no perfect family. Looking at Joseph's father and his adult relationships helps us to understand the context within which Joseph's story unfolds. We read about the life of Jacob in Genesis 25, where his name first appears in the family record of Abraham. In Genesis 29, we read the story of Jacob's first encounter with Rachel, who had become the love of Jacob's life and the one who captured his heart. In summary, Jacob was working with her father Laban, and he was willing to work 7 years to claim Rachel as his bride. But Laban pulled a switch and deceived Jacob. Jacob, who's such a deceiver, got deceived himself. And the Bible says that it wasn't until the day after the wedding that Jacob realized that Laban had done this. I guess there's a lesson there, right? There's always going to be someone more deceptive that will deceive you and will catch you out at your own game. Laban outsmarted Jacob, who is now married to Leah, and yet Rachel remains the love of his life. Laban says, "Well, you can have her too. In fact, you can have her immediately, but you owe me 7 more years." Jacob unintentionally married both Leah and Rachel. Leah begins having children. In fact, she gives 4 sons almost immediately to Jacob. Can you imagine being Rachel who's watching this? In Middle Eastern culture, back in those times, fertility was considered to be a sign of God's blessing. I'm sure Rachel felt like she was being left behind and needed to contribute to the lineage. And so Rachel comes up with a great suggestion, totally acceptable in their culture. Rachel says, "Why don't you, hubby, have sexual relations with my servant girl, Bilhah?" And Bilhah, in fact, is able to give 2 sons, Dan and Naphtali, to Jacob. And that's not quite the same as Rachel having them, but it's better than nothing. Leah follows suit and also has a servant girl named Zilpah. And she gives birth to a couple more sons named Gad and Asher. Leah falls pregnant and she blesses Jacob with Issachar and Zebulun. Somewhere along the way, a daughter by the name of Dinah is born through her as well. And then finally, the womb of Rachel is opened and she conceives. Joseph and Benjamin are the 2 sons that Rachel brings into the world before dying tragically. Does all this sound normal to you? Talk about a challenging family. Maybe this is making your family look more normal than you thought. Before we are able to get into the details of Joseph's experiences, it is important to be aware of the circumstances and brokenness that were part of his family. Joseph's father Jacob had 2 wives, 2 concubines, 12 sons, and 1 daughter. Yet as you will come to see, God works with our challenges and shows how great he is. Joseph's generational heritage and immediate family were both highly dysfunctional. Much of Jacob's life was characterized by deception and dysfunction. That's what Joseph had modeled for him, but it's also what he chose to reject in his own life over time. Secondly, we see God uses difficulties to grow us. Let's pick up the story of Joseph in Genesis 37:1. It says this, "Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. At this point in time, Joseph was 17 years old, and the account begins with Joseph going out to help his brothers in the field." Genesis 37:3 clearly states that Joseph was the favorite son. Now, it's one thing for us as parents to get on more with one child or another. That's not unusual. But it is not usual for this to be openly displayed. And Jacob's favor of Joseph is evident in the generous and unwise gift of a robe of many colors. Genesis 37:4 clearly states that Joseph's brothers hated him as a result, and there was great difficulty and jealousy in the family. Now Joseph also angered his brothers when he told them about his dreams. He comes to them one day and he says, "I had a dream. We were out working in the fields together, and in my dream there were 12 sheaves of wheat there, and your 11 sheaves bowed down to mine." And he has another dream and does not seem to realize the effect of this on his family. This time it's 12 stars plus the sun and moon, representing mom and dad, and the 11 stars plus the sun and moon bowed down to him. His brother's response is really pretty simple and logical. In Genesis 37:8, they say, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more. We would say in this generation, "Who died and made you king? What makes you think you're so special?" I'm guessing this was the beginning of the end, and this marks an important turning point in their family dynamics. Let's just say things didn't get any easier for young Joseph. As it would turn out, God was lifting up Joseph and showing him a picture of what the future would be. His brothers did not recognize this, and immediately they react to Joseph's perceived arrogance and insensitivity. Joseph's brothers demonstrate their hatred by betrayal in the family tradition, as it seems. They plan ahead of time that they're going to kill him. They plotted on how to kill him. Yet Reuben, who was the oldest of the family, he and Judah, the 4th brother, intervened. Reuben had a secret plan. He says, "Throw him down into the cistern where they gathered water from." And he hoped to secretly come back and free him up later because he knows this will break his dad's heart. And as the oldest, he's the one who feels a sense of responsibility about this. His brothers instead, at the urging of Judah, don't kill him, but they sell him to a caravan of Midianite merchants that are on their way to Egypt. Then they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They take the bloodied robe back to their father. And it's so interesting what they do. Genesis 37:31. They don't tell Jacob any story. They're too good at deception for that. It's been bred into them. Jacob is led to believe that a tragedy befell Joseph and that he's been killed by a wild animal. They don't tell him a lie. They just deceive him and they lead him down the road to believing that which was far from the truth. The story shows us that the sins of the father can become the sins of the children. In this case, it has been passed on to the next generation, who do not resist. The brothers deceive their father with the blood-soaked robe, and Jacob is so upset that he refuses to be comforted. He tears his clothes, he mourns, and he says, "My life is over. I'll never have another joyful day in all my life." Now, in the next messages, we will look more at Joseph's life in Egypt. But for now, let's skip ahead and see what becomes of this terribly dysfunctional family. If we jump to Genesis chapter 50, we see how the story ends and the kind of man Joseph becomes. Joseph turns out differently to his brothers. God, through adversity, shapes Joseph, and he sends him on a detour to Egypt. And that's because God's detours are always purposeful and concerned with our development. Thirdly, we see that we are not trapped by our past. In Genesis 50, after Jacob's death, we see how Joseph chooses to forgive his brothers and deals graciously with them. Joseph overcomes his family heritage of dysfunction. He chooses to break free of the things that would shape and define most people. We see that for Joseph, and also for us, transformation is really possible, and that with God's grace and help, you don't have to perpetuate the sins of your father. We do not need to repeat or be defined by our own family struggles and sin. The truth is, the past will always want a greater presence in our lives than our future. But brokenness is an explanation for our issues, not an excuse for them. This cycle of dysfunction is not inevitable. It's not like we're robots. It's not like we're doomed. Joseph never hid away from what his brothers did to him, but he refused to be seen as a victim of his past. Joseph illustrates that we are not trapped by our past dysfunction. We can choose freedom. Think about these examples of the choices that Joseph made. Joseph rejected deception and chose integrity. People could trust him and take him at his word. Joseph rejected revenge and chose forgiveness. If anyone both deserved revenge and had the ability to enact it, it was Joseph. Yet he chose a different path. Joseph rejected passivity and chose initiative. He saw himself as a problem solver and was always active in what God allowed in his life. Joseph rejected favoritism and chose impartiality. He had learned a hard lesson about what that does in a home. Joseph rejected jealousy and chose contentment. His trust was in God alone, and he rested in the character and nature of the God he served. Joseph rejected betrayal and chose loyalty. Instead of being a victim of others' actions, Joseph became a victor. Joseph chose to break the cycle of sin, and so can you. We know that our homes are broken and that brokenness exists in our lives as a result of the fall of man. But Joseph's story shows us that the cycle of sin and dysfunction is not inevitable. It can be broken by the choices we make in response to God's grace. Contrary to popular belief, we are not trapped by our past. We can learn to respond in a healthy and godly way. With the help of God, we can choose differently to what we've experienced as the norm. We can develop a new perspective on life. Like with Joseph, God does shape us through our experiences over our lifetime. And that means that no experience is wasted, no matter how painful. Remember, God cared about who Joseph was becoming, and he cares about who you are becoming.